Hi, this is Pastor Jerry from Cross Point Church. I just want you to know that I am so thrilled that you've tuned in to join us right here online. And I want you to know that we care about you, we care about your family. And if you need any information about Cross Point Church, just let us know. You can email us, you can get back to us in any way that's most convenient for you. But I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to this program. And by the way, let us know, would you, how the program is a blessing to you. Now let's go to the pulpit ministry of Cross Point Church.
Well, about 4 years ago, Chris Nannigan and his wife Dorothy and his daughters left to go to Washington, D.C. Felt that was best from where they were working from with Outreach to Asian Nationals. It's been 4 years since Chris has been back to speak, so I invited him many months ago, and it's one of those things you kind of put on the calendar, and it's here. And so, if you don't know Chris, he and his family came to our church about 8 years ago, and they packed up from India, from SIACS, which is a theological institution there where he was a professor, and they came to be our missions pastor for 4 years, and since that time, a lot of great things have happened in their lives and in the lives of our church as well. He's currently a full-time professor at Liberty University and also full-time with Outreach to Asian Nationals. I don't know how that works, but he's a busy guy. And he teaches and travels. And I say this often when I talk to people, of all the speakers I've heard, without a doubt, he's one of the best. I always tell folks he's not much to look at, but he's a great speaker. So if you can get by just the initial shock and listen, you can learn a lot. Amen, church? And God has gifted him with a mind and the ability to communicate, which is somewhat unusual. I tell folks that having taken a lot of classes myself over the years and being involved in a lot of things with academicians and churches, I've heard a lot of people that are great speakers, but they're not theologians. And I've heard a lot of theologians teach, and I can tell you what, they're not speakers. But Chris has combined to be able to do both of those at the same time, which is very unique. So Chris is going to come this morning for about a half an hour and share with us. So Chris, we're going to be done around noon. It's a big clock in front of you there. You can't miss it. And we're just very excited to have Chris here with us today. He's done a great job. He's actually doing a three-part sermon. This is the third part. I've never heard anybody do that before. Preached the first part at 8, the second part at 9:30. I don't know if he was trying to get people to come back to build the audience at 11. I don't know what that's like, but he's going to finish the message this morning. So would you welcome back our missions pastor from the past and currently our missionary that we support, Dr. Chris. Chris, come right ahead.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much. Good morning, church. It's such a delight to be back to Bangor Baptist Church. I've got to start saying Cross Point. It is exciting. It really is. I mean, four years away, and then now once again kind of delving into what's happening. My eyes behold and my heart is warm. I am really, really excited about what God is doing among us here at Cross Point. If you belong to this church, let me say one thing. I travel a little and I see churches. I'm probably in some kind of a mega church almost every weekend nowadays. You belong to one of the best churches where you are fed and led and even bred to come and reproduce yourself. So this is wonderful. I was sitting and having a coffee and talking to some folks there. The entire cafe is just amazing. By the way, when you go out, don't forget to wish Jane it's her birthday today. Jamie will be mad at me for saying this. But you know, I remember he was in my Sunday school class, and now that's gone gangbusters. 50 over people, I think. Turgeon's there. Don't mess it up now. And you know, I mean, this is amazing what God is doing. And honestly, I mean, I'm really impressed. This is the third service, almost full this morning. And it's good. It's camping season, they tell me, and hunting season. Or is it, I don't know what season it is here. In D.C., it's always traffic season. And So it's just very refreshing to be here. I've just returned from six countries in Asia. Most of them, if not all of them, are what they call restricted access countries. In other words, the gospel wants to get to them, but there are restrictions. It could be geopolitical, crossing boundaries. It could be sociolinguistic in terms of communicating who Jesus is. It could be just an old issue of domestic violence. Everywhere there's problems. But the gospel, I'm just here to tell you, is unstoppable. Jesus said, I will build my church. And he said all the authorities, when he talks about gates, you know, in the Old Testament, that's where the real authorities sat to kind of judge and make sure everything. He said the gates of hell, the worst things in the world and all its powers, will never be able to stop the advancing of the gospel. It will prevail. And I'm just here to say two things this morning. First of all, thank you. Thank you. I'm a kind of a loyalist, and sometimes I struggle. I want to confess to you as my sending and family church, I struggle between loyalty and truth. You know what I mean? Have you had that problem? I mean, we struggle. And this last year, I had to struggle. There were some people I want to be loyal to, but I need to be true to my calling and what Jesus has called me to do. So there's two major changes in what I'm doing, and it's just important and ethical and important that I come and report to you, just like Paul and Barnabas did. Well, the first change is I have now kind of put aside all the administration stuff that I had done these last 5 years almost, shaping the organization called OTAN. If some of you don't know what OTAN is, it's NATO spelled backwards. This outreach to Asia nationals is where I work. And basically, I've been casting a vision. If you didn't realize, this is not a tan. I'm originally from Asia. And so I know the people. I can smell a rat. I kind of plot current trends and issues. So my heart is to see Asia saved. I mean, that is my burden. I mean, America, we don't even realize the resources we have here. I'm not an American. And yet I think, you know, Jack Wurtson and Wendell Calder brought me here 32 years ago. I went and came and studied in Word of Life in New York and then in Tennessee Temple, came back after 20 years when Otis Goodwin died. Pastor Mick was trying to hold things together. And I'm so glad I had a small part in shaping and giving some framework. Now, whether we follow that and all, I feel my task is over. I've done what I needed to do in terms of administration, not even my gift or second gift or third gift and whatever. And God, I think, will honor. And we're looking for a new CEO. Somebody will come and do that. And so you can pray for that. The second thing is just to report about our family. Safir Althial, an Indian theologian, once told me, he said, Nyanakin, there is no virtue in winning the whole world and losing your family. And I find it hard to get away from that, you know. Every time I make these trips, do you realize I may never come back to my wife or kids? I mean, that's the risk we take. Now, I don't know, some of us men, we don't mind going out on a limb and suffering. But when you got a wife with you traveling in some of these countries, Dorothy was with me in Russia at the border across the Sea of Japan, 20 miles away from where Kim Jong-un launched that nuke, that missile. You should see the sense and terror in that place. I mean, I don't mind. For me, it's like, okay, fireworks. But you know, but when you have a wife with you, and you have children back home, it's amazing. Both our kids went through university. I mean, you do the math, I don't know how you guys do it in America without debt. The good part is I'm not American, so I don't have access to funds or credit cards. So that's a lot of money to put two girls through university without any aid and being missionaries. The other thing is we've never saved. I mean, some people retire with 60 years of Social Security. 2 years ago is when Dorothy and I started saving. Don't forget, I'm almost the speed limit now. It's not 55 here, is it? I mean, yeah. I mean, so I mean, at some stage, after 65, they won't want me. Even if I'm good, I probably have to go to the field, like, you know. And they're like, get out of here, you know. So, I don't know if you do financial peace, and people have a lot of missionaries. They work, they burn out, and nobody cares for retirement for them. So for the first time 2 years ago, we started putting aside something so that in case something happens, there's something for us. Now, our security is in God and God alone. And that's why we came. We literally came to this country with two suitcases. It's Tom Obie and you. I mean, you guys know that. I stayed in a home here where I'm now staying. And it's just amazing to see God's faithfulness over these many years. I can't believe it's over 8.5 years ago, June, we came here in 2009. We were working. I tell you right now, before that itself, I think God was at work. And so we're just thankful. I'm here just to say thank you. I mean, I'm not even worried about preaching this morning. I'm just so happy just to be back and to say God is good all the time and all the time. And isn't that wonderful? We are part of the... We can go hunting, you know. I'm going to a pastor now in Waterville in Kennebec Valley who is a hunter. I don't know if you know Kevin Grant. I mean, first time I met him, he said, my goal is to shoot those Bengal tigers from your country. I was like, whoa, you know, I'm just a missionary. You don't want to shoot Bengal tigers, your bucket list? That's fine. You know, I'm here. I do not play with cobra snakes. I don't ride elephants to school. And I really haven't shot any Bengal tiger. You know, just like... It reminds me of the king. I mean, why am I telling all these stories? It reminds me of the king who took this assistant hunting. And this guy had a bad temper, just an arrogant king. And every time he says, tells his assistant, bring that rifle here. So this assistant comes and he brings this rifle. One of these times when he said, bring the rifle here, the assistant brought it. And while handing it over to this king, he blew one of his fingers. He just shot it. Yeah, you could only imagine what happened. He got so mad with this guy. He looked at him. He said, what is this? He said, oh, king, it is good. It is good. He said, what is so good about you blowing my finger and shooting it? He said, it is good. It is good. He got so mad, he threw him in prison. He said, you guys thought you're going to stay there. He started going hunting. Went alone without the help of the assistant. Went there and he met a group of people who were cannibals. And they caught this guy. So they caught this guy, strung him up into a cauldron of boiling oil. He's ready to dip the guy to eat him. And suddenly they realized there's a finger missing. So they said, in our tribe, we don't eat people who are not complete. So they said, put him back, throw, he's not bad product, you know, just put him off. We don't like the white meat anyway, you know. So they throw him off, and he said, you know what? My assistant was right, this is so good. So he went there and he said to this guy, listen, come out of prison, released him, and he said, this is amazing. He said, I'm so sorry that I put you in prison. He said, it is good. It is good. He said, why you keep telling me it is good when you shot my finger, when I put you in jail? Why is it good? He said, if they didn't put me in jail, I will be still hunting with you. It is good here. It is good here. You know, sometimes I wonder where would I be if I was still here or there or in D.C. or in Asia or in you know what? God's still in control and it is good. It is good. Trust me. Don't shoot me after this. But it is really, really good. What I've been doing is basically looking at something that I put together to share my heart with you. When I look at this area down east or New England and see how the gospel first came, you know, across the pond, came here with the Mayflower, Jamestown or whatever, and all these universities, whether it's Brown University, Yale, Harvard, Princeton. Did you know they were all started to actually develop preachers for the gospel? The Haystack Revival. In fact, where I'm going, I think 2 months from now, to a place called Whitefield, is actually named Whitfield. That's where OTAN started. And that's as far as George Whitfield came preaching. And I've been to that place and asked people. They don't have a clue what I'm talking about. It was like when I was in Wales a few years ago now, I think 2-3 years ago, and I'd asked the people about the Welsh Revival, and the people are like, yeah, what are you talking about? You know, get out. They don't even know what, they don't know their history. The book of Acts is a history book. And people say, you know, experience is the best teacher. No. Experience is only a best or good teacher if we learn from it. If not, it isn't a good teacher. My burden, particularly the last year, along with Dorothy, and by the way, this is the big change. Dorothy is going to accompany me in most of my trips. We are committed to focus on Gen Z, the next generation. Maybe because our kids are that generation. You notice, I mean, I'm sure in churches, you know, you get people to volunteer. They have little kids. They love nursery. Then the kids grow up. They love to do middle school. And the kids, and then they volunteer for the, you know, you almost grow with your kids, I guess, something psychological. But we are committed to train the next generation. Before I just go into this, I want to tell you, kind of, not that I have my finger on any pulse, but I do teach about almost 1,000 students a day on Tuesdays and Thursdays, only 2 days. Liberty is very gracious to allow me to do this 2 days, so I commute 2 hours and 38 minutes on a Toyota Prius, and I read an audiobook up and down. So that's what I do. Actually, nobody, I mean, the whole world is coming into D.C., and I'm just kind of cruising out. You know? And then when I come back on Thursday evenings, the whole world is leaving D.C., and I'm just cruising in. It means that God is so gracious. People ask me, are you worried about this 2 hour, 38-minute drive from your home? I live just behind the airport, literally 18 minutes behind Dulles International Airport. So can you believe I can get into a plane in Dulles, and 14 and a half hours, one flight, I'll be in Beijing. One flight in Beijing, China. Who would have dreamt about that? But here's the challenge, and then I'll just mention this, are we the church? I'm having what I call an ABC crisis. I think we're living in an age, when you consider Christianity, technically we are post-Christendom. The post-millennials are now called the Gen Z. In this whole subculture, if you like, there are three major issues. I mean, most of the Gen Zs have been living with terror as the norm. They basically 9/11. You ask them about JFK, they don't know, like, what are you talking about? They're not even tuned. I was in Charlotte the other day, went to visit Billy Graham Museum, and my daughter, and I asked them, you know, this is about Billy. He said, Billy who? Did you know there's a generation that doesn't know who Billy Graham is? And that's true. That's Gen Z. But what they do know is that terror is here to stay. This axis of evil. You know the number of, I mean, I asked the last count, how many of you went to school worried if somebody would come and blow people out in school? No, none of us did. But the present generation are aware of it. They live after the stock market's crashed, and so they understand. They're not taking loan. Their entitlement's gone. They want to they're much more creative. They want to earn something. That work ethic is slowly being built into this new batch that come to college. They've seen their siblings and what happened to them. They studied and didn't even get a job at McDonald's. They're like, why do I want to go that route? So I was in Harrisonburg at EMU, the college. There was a young fellow there. And I said, what is the greatest achievement that you guys had, you know, trying to give them the gospel? And this guy, he's half American, half Chinese. He said, well, I sold my company for $2 million. I thought, aha, funny joke. And the guy told me, he said, Nathan said to me, Dr. G, he's true. He did sell that company. 17-year-old kid in EMU builds some kind of a site or whatever, and he sells it and trades it off for almost $2 million. I was like, my goodness, why didn't I think of that before? You know, this is really good. So I'm not kidding. We are working in a generation that's totally different. My question is church relevant for those people? How are we applying the gospel? Now, again, I'm not American, but I am so indebted to this country. Without this, my first time to read the Bible, I couldn't believe I could go the whole year and just read the Bible. But I'm just wondering, the Bible's gone through us. Maybe we've gone through the Bible, but has it gone through us? And if so, what? The third thing about this whole Gen Z that I'm struggling with, they are high-tech and low-touch. They learn not from their professors. They used to learn from their professors. Well, they stopped learning from their parents long ago. You know where they learn from now? The millennials learn from their peers, right? You know what Gen Z learns from? Portable devices. I'm not kidding. I give them something almost instantly they can download and say, no, it was September 14. It was 1493, Doc. Whoa! They don't need information. They can download that stuff. You know what they need? They need interpretation. They need you to make sense about life. And when I look at my youngest daughter, Karis, who's finished a sophomore year now, going, I'm like, how do I communicate the gospel to her? I mean, their attention span, even for the length of a lecture, is less than 9 minutes. You know why? YouTube. They switch off after that. Really, you got to give them a commercial break just to keep their attention. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, what do you do? Gone are the days that, I mean, if I didn't perform here in front like this, I mean, you guys are going to tune me out too. And you're not even the Gen Z. You see what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm just baffled. I'm asking the questions. What does church look like? What does church and mission look like? But I'm here to tell you some other good news. You know, this generation, the Gen Z we're talking about, after the IY, it's basically, they are moving into being very creative. They are using their minds. They're actually coming back full circle with not just the feel good, do it, Nike, just get it done stuff. They are actually thinking. And they are becoming a little more innovative. So, I mean, this is an exceptional church in Maine. I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the churches I go, you can't find young people in their churches. Now, I'm not saying you got to become a joker to work in the circus. I'm not saying give them whatever they want. Show them what they really need. But here's the good thing. And now I want to share the message. In fact, one of my lectures I'm preparing, the three things they're looking for is, number one, identity. Identity. Now, this sounds funny, like they know who they are. Not really. This generation are having an identity crisis. Who am I? Where do I belong? And they may be asking it in different ways by tattooing and putting nose rings and highlighting their hair. The other day, my daughter said, can I highlight my hair? I said, I got a few on my desk. You can use this if you want. And he said, you know, what do you mean highlight your hair? Did you know that? You can go and just take a strip. Gary, you look nice with that stuff. You know, it's just amazing. I mean, I have to learn a whole new language with this highlighting hair stuff. And it's like, Dad, I mean, I have something wrong and I'm kind of fix my phone. I'm like, oh my goodness, what? I got an i6S. The guy wants me to get an i7. He says, I deserve it. And Kara says, yes, you need one, Dad. I said, I know why I know. Because you're going to get this one, right? You know? And I try and say, and she comes and goes, do, 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 done. I said, how did you do it? She looks at me and says, how did you not know how to do it? And this, oh my goodness, it's like, how do we reach this generation? And I'm telling you what, change is the only constant. And we've got to change to be relevant and applicable, but there are some things that don't change. Last time I checked, they are still hiring honest people. I don't care how techy you are or not, they still want honest people. I mean, there are some things that remain. And no matter how technology and how high-tech you become, which sadly we've become low-touch now, relationships are what really matter. You know what's the second thing about Gen X, Gen Z? Not only identity, they long for community. You build community, they'll come. If there's no community, it's a showtime. They're going to give their dues and get out of it. Are we community? What does it mean to be the church today? The church is the only organization that exists for its non-members. Think about that. I love this cave stuff and whatever else you guys are doing. The third thing about these Gen Z, and all this I learned this last 2 years since I started teaching at Liberty. Can you put the next slide up? I mean, teaching at Liberty has really helped me, although I just do it on 2 days. It has opened my eyes to this whole generation that's yet to come. And I'm thinking purely on missions. I was able to recruit 6 young couples, second line. Now, I have this huge problem to connect and transfer, which I think is not my gift, so that's why I become director for training. I create curriculum and I help our ministry managers if they want me. If not, I just go do my own thing like everybody else is in my organization. But you know, I just have a burden for these next generation. And maybe you're listening to me and your grandpa, Glenn Wilson, how are you, sir? You love those grandkids? Those Gen Z, your grandkids have become Gen Z these days. I'm telling you what, Jamie and Jane's daughter is going to grow up. She's sitting there 7 years old. I mean, helping mama at the counter is like, whoa. Things are changing so rapidly. But there's one thing that they're looking for. You know what? Not just identity and community, but authenticity. They want to know whether we are real or not. You know what? They'll even test us to find out. They will put us to the test. Are you really what you say you are? Because they see there's a, like in England, we say, mind the gap, you know. There's a credibility gap between what we believe and how we behave. And they're like, that's not for me. They've had it with hypocrites. I'm not saying churches are filled with hypocrites, but they're not going to sit down and take that anymore. They're going to find something else to do. But you be genuine, they will gravitate to you. They will come and just be your escort and buddy up and say, show me how it is done. So that's where we are, and that's what I do. And you know what? This is sad, but it's true. The world is McDonaldized. Whatever happens in America happens everywhere else. They're listening to all our latest, you know, Taylor Swift songs in Nepal. I'm like, you know Taylor Swift? Yeah, of course, we got to. Want me to play? No, I said, no, thank you. You know, that's fine. I heard that before. Is she leading your country? No, she's not leading my country in America, you know. But it's amazing what the world thinks about us. We sneeze here and they get a cold. That is how influential we are. No, I'm not joking. America is, everybody has a love-hate relationship with America. The 11 countries we work in, they all want to come to America, thinking it's the promised land, till they find out we pay taxes. So I think this is where my heart is, and this is where our family is. So pray for me. You know, 10 to 11 countries, creating church planting movements. If you don't want to remember it, we are into what I'm calling with Dorothy the 3M movements. We want to motivate people with biblical strategy. The first M, motivate. I just found out for everything we need motivation. Gen Z needs motivation. Even to lose weight, who doesn't need motivation? We all need motivation, but what about motivating with a biblical strategy? You say, aren't we working hard and aren't we working long? Yeah, but that's not going to change the world. We're working hard and long. We are not working smart and right. There's a big difference between working hard and long and smart and right. And I think this Gen Z want to work smart and they want to get it right. They watch their parents and what the church did to them or what community did or what Christendom is, and they said, we want to get it right. And they're looking for that. That's good. Even the other trend, we just did some research. We found out, do you know it's Gen Z? I mean, when we, the millennials, I think there's some millennials here, but, you know, the Gen Z, they are actually wanting to live closer to their parents. Ed, isn't that helpful? I mean, when we were young, like, I'm 18, I can drink and bye, you know, and parents were also happy. We'll see you Thanksgiving, you know, go. But the good news is this generation want community. They're coming back to want to see grandparents. That's good. I really think that's good. I am very optimistic moving forward because they long for authenticity. They want to see people who are real. And how do you do missions in that context? What is God doing around the world? So here's a little quiz. I've already answered the first two questions. I'll answer the third one here. Let's take a quiz today. The first quiz, I thought of this on the airplane, so I put this. First of all, God will not ask you to do something that you cannot do. True or false? How many of you say it's true? Raise your hand. Amen. Well, almost all. Anyone says false? Oh, there are some. Okay. Good. Three or four of you. Actually, the answer is false. No. God does ask us to do things that we cannot do. Keep the Ten Commandments. Anyone here kept it? No. So he does ask you. He says, this do and you shall live. And none of us have kept it. He says, go in the world, make witnesses. Look at this. 2,000 years later, we've not done it. We can't do it. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do what? John 15:5. You can do nothing unless my word and spirit abides in you. Then you can do it. Paul said, I can do all things. He didn't stop there. Through Christ, who gives me. That's how you do it. This attitude, yes, I can, as a political symbol, or even Bob the Builder, yes, you can, is not Christian. Or the adage that God helps those who help themselves. That's not biblical. It's not in the Bible, by the way. In fact, the opposite is true. God helps those who cannot help themselves. I mean, you think about it. And I think what we need more in churches is a total dependence on the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may think I'm Baptist-costal. That's okay. You know, the important thing is we need the Holy Spirit. It is not a thing. And the reason I put this sermon together, I was in a home while I was doing this, and this dad, you know, how the kids parade their little children and all that stuff, and he had brought this toy and watched it. And I've done this several times. That's why it kind of hung on to me. He opened this, and he was trying to impress it with students. You know what happened? He opened it, and he's like, wow, this is really great. And they found out, you know what, the toy doesn't work. He pressed it harder and harder, it wouldn't work. And then he read the cover and it said, batteries are not included. You know, that's the problem with our church, our churches. We are trying to mechanize things. We're trying to do our very best. But what do you do when your best is not good enough? We were never meant to do our best. We were meant to trust and allow God to work in and through us. So let me leave you with this thought, the next slide. Oh, by the way, the answer is that what God is really doing is creating a movement, and he wants us to be part of a movement. I just want to talk to you in this last slide. Could you just move it to the third one? Yeah, that was there you go. I just want to talk about church and leave you with a few thoughts about how you and I can be missional in this age and time. Jesus calls us to be his witness. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, let me read this. He said, they ask him about the kingdom. Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Do you see how exclusive they are? Almost supremacist as we are facing today. It's like, this is for us. This is ours. And Jesus said, listen, don't be asking me when the kingdom will be. You're worried about Kronos. I'm talking about Kairos. Look at the opportunity. He says, even I don't know, only my Father knows. But you will receive power. Very few people see the context in which that verse is given. You shall receive power. It's for them asking, when are you going to make us in charge? You know, we want this power, we want to control. Just we see Rome, and Rome is the glory, you know. The glory of Rome is, I mean, what about us? I mean, we don't see, like, our profile is not high. We're not getting enough hits on Twitter, or, you know, likes on Facebook. And you see, this generation wants that. But Jesus says, that's not what church is about, getting likes on Facebook. It's about being face to face and have a relationship with God. How do we do that? Because Jesus died and went to heaven. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit is not simply a battery that's put into the Christian. It's not it. It is he. He has a personality, a mind, emotions, and will. That's what creates personhood. Mind, cognitive, you think through. Emotions, affective. You learn to love and reciprocate that. And will, volitional, you make choices and you live with the consequences of those choices. That's what makes a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has a will. He wants something from the church. He has emotions. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit. In fact, he has a will, and you can lie against the Holy Spirit. He's a person. Our problem is not that we ask Jesus in your heart. Our problem is we've not let the Spirit of Christ out of our lives. Stop asking Jesus into your heart. He's not there anyway. He's in heaven. It's the Holy Spirit is who's in your heart. Jesus is not in your heart. I'm sorry, he's coming back again, by the way, in case you didn't know. Yes, he's coming back. Who is he? The Comforter. Listen to this. In John chapter 14, verse 6, when they're really worried, like, you're leaving us, what are we going to do? Have you felt like that? The word used there is, we are orphans. You've left us without any encouragement. And Jesus said, listen, it's good for me. The word is expedient. It's just the right thing. It's good for you. It's good for everything, given the circumstances. I've got to go back to the Father. Mission accomplished. Jesus could not have accomplished his mission if he hadn't ascended back to the Father, right? But he said, don't be worried. I will ask the Father, and we will send you the Comforter, the Parakletos. Para, kaleo, means to call alongside. And he says, listen, you're going to do greater things than I, but not by yourself. Because the Holy Spirit will not only come to be with you, alongside, we get parallel, parachute, paramedics, you know, alongside to help. He's not only be with you, he's going to come where? In you. Why is he going to come in you? So that he could lead you into all truth. Do you get this? There are three directions here. The sun goes up. The sun rose up. Why? So that the Spirit comes down. Why? So that the Spirit can come in. Why? So that the church can go out. That is the book of Acts. Sun goes up, Spirit come down and in. Why? So that the church can go out. The word send out is where we get the word missions. Missio. It's very simple, actually. I want to encourage you this morning. Be the church in context. People are longing to participate in the work of the Spirit. And that's what it is. I'm so glad the songs we sang is about the resurrection of Jesus. That is the only thing that sets Christianity apart. I teach an upper-level course for apologetics and world religions. And I tell them, this is the only thing that is good news that sets our faith apart from all other faiths. He's alive. We sang forevermore. Do you have the batteries? Are they included? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart? You say, yes. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Listen to Ephesians 1 and verse 13. When you believed the word, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed, batteries included, by the promise, Father's promise, of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says, walk in the Spirit. You see all these people who get drunk, who controls them? We know there's another spirit. But he says, listen, we get all hung up about other spirits. Get hung up about the Holy Spirit. Mind your business. He says, don't worry when the kingdom. Till then, wait. You shall receive power. Because this Holy Spirit who comes in you, the pleroma, the fullness of the Spirit, is what will lead you into all truth. And the word is this. It's actually the present continuous tense in Greek. Keep on being filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, you know where there is excess. He says, now, why don't you get all obsessed about the Holy Spirit for a change? I think we've thrown the baby with the bathwater when we miss out on batteries included. So I ask for the others of us who know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Our problem is not, you know, having the batteries, but are they charged this morning? Hey, you charge your batteries? You plugged in? Where are you going? The sun went up, so the Spirit come in. Why? So that we can go out. We're going to go out of these doors. What are you going to do with Jesus? You are the only Jesus people see. And this generation is looking for, Gen Z is looking, show me Jesus. And we're all going to die, you know. A guy read a tombstone. It said, stop, my friend, as you go by. The tombstone said, where you are now, so once was I. Where I am now, you soon will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me. This naughty guy wrote in the sand, to follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went. I'm telling you, the Gen Z are watching. And they want us to follow him. I close with this story. I want to encourage you. It's a story I read last week about, I'm reading about Thomas Edison, seeing how these great people who had these brilliant minds actually created change. I'm struggling with it. And I said, okay, Wizard of Mungo Park, let's see how the guy, you know, let's trace his life. And this story gripped me last week. I thought I'll tell it to you this morning. Thomas Edison comes back from school with a letter from his principal. And he gives it to his mom. He says, Mom, the principal gave me this letter. And his mom says, oh. And she opens it up, and she just starts breaking down. She's in tears. And of course, young Thomas is like, Mom, is everything all right? What did I do now? And the mom says, well, and she says, Mom, can you tell me what the principal said? Well, she said, Thomas, your principal says that the school and the teachers are no longer able to teach you anymore at school. The letter says that we, your parents, will have to teach you ourselves from home. And that is because you are brilliant. And she says, you know what? you better get to work because I'm going to check how you're doing. And she let him go and do things and everything. What really shook me is that Thomas Edison, the great one, incandescent lamp, and I mean, we won't have light today, in a sense. His mom dies. And Edison, older Edison, Thomas Edison, opens her treasure chest or whatever they called it those days, and she feels all these things that her mom's, you know, moms keep all these things. And he finds this letter that the principal had written. And he opens it up and he starts reading. And Thomas Edison just starts weeping. Because as he weeps, the letter says, from the principal to his parents, he says, "We, the teachers of this school, are not able to teach your son anymore. You will have to teach him yourself from home. We have found him to be Adele, mentally retarded." That was actually what the letter said. Thank God for moms who know not to give us information but interpretation, who believe in us. Gen Z and Mission are just longing for people to invest in them. Look at you and I. If God accepted us for who we are, will we be here? He looked at me in South India as a street kid whose mom borrowed money to put me in a school so that I could learn English. Now teaching at largest Christian university on the planet, who could have written that script? But people believed in us. That's why we're here. Our mission at Crosspoint is to believe in the next generation because they may end up as Thomas Edison's. I just want to show you a slide about what I do, and then you can leave. And if you want to see a few pictures about Cambodia, all right, can you just show us the pictures of the Cambodia? Take this home as you think about it. Matt and Joanne, young couple. I have several young couples. And I always say I have the B&B problem with these young, energetic people. They got bills and babies. You know what I'm talking about? They want to do missions, but I'm not going to send them to the field. They have so much of debt, and they got babies. God created mom to stay at home, I guess. I mean, there's a big issue. But Matt, by the way, his eldest son died, and we actually buried him in a shoebox. There was another ministry manager for Vietnam. I was sitting in that hotel, he comes weeping, he says, "Chris, Dr. G, they called me." He says, "My wife lost her baby, had a miscarriage." And he's sitting with me in Vietnam. I said, "You better go back, you know, Alfin, you got to go back." He says, "Yeah." And she says, "No, it's already gone. What are you going to do? Stay there." Who do you tell these stories to? But this is what's happening. Gen Z have their own crisis and struggles. But you see, you take Matt, you go to Angkor Wat, but we're not focusing where there's already a church. We go where there is no church. So we focus in Cambodia to this area where no one has even heard the gospel of Jesus. Look where we are sitting in. That, by the way, is the church in that home. So we go there to these areas. Next slide, we're part of that. We build a team of Cambodians. We have to give the nationals a sense of belonging, then only they will take a sense of ownership. If not, they'd wait for the American dollar and for you to come and preach your favorite sermon, take the pictures, go back, raise money to go next year. That's what we've been doing in missions. We can't be doing this. And so when he trains them, look who's teaching in front. I'm not, like we're supporting you. No, well, I'm taking the picture, by the way, so I'm not teaching. It's letting them move from a sense of belonging, ownership, responsibility. I tell you, what about Gen Z? They want responsibility. They'll take it if you're willing to give it. Some of us older people won't get out of the way. That's why the younger ones can't come. Look, we have the what I call the B&B for them. We have a CNC problem. We want to command and control them. And this culture is not waking. We're going to lose a whole generation. I'm telling you. I'm just plotting trends here. But when Matt comes back and shares with his peers and with my juniors as to what, they all want, can I go next year? So I may not be generating monetary resources, but we got human resources. And last time I checked the Bible, the God is looking for human resources. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Our monies don't impress God. You can understand this? It'll be gone overnight if you wanted to, like the Lehman Brothers. So what is it that impresses God? Our heart, our commitment, our lives. Letting the Spirit bear us to places where He wants to use us. Next slide. It's very interesting in these countries. You always work with the nations. That's what Gary and all of us do. If it wasn't for Prakash, we won't be doing much in Nepal, would we, Gary? We need these guys. So we choose a point person. Who are these point persons? You know who a point person is? A point person is someone who likes an American. So what do you mean? For some reason, I don't know why, the world likes Americans. They do. I don't know whether it's a... I don't know. Maybe they think democracy is the best thing in the world. They want to be. They like us. They not only like us, they want to learn from us. That's the scary part. But you know what else? They like us. They want to learn from us. And they will let us into their community. Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, go find the person of peace, the man of peace. We find David Veit, the guy I'm standing very proudly next to. All the Cambodians are short, by the way. He is the ministry man. He combines all these pastors on the field. It's our first time. We're going to Cambodia. The last guy was in Cambodia, just went. We didn't have any money, no resources left. Now see what Matt has to do. We found Huit, and she's a young lady, knows good English, can translate like Amrita, you know, skilled, does all my translation work. They now take it. If you go to Cambodia, go to Angkor Wat, they come chasing after you. Hey, sir, if you give another $15, we take you to floating village. What is the floating? Anyone been to the floating village? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Matt's wife, Jo, is concerned about trafficking. I wrote a little paper called Stop the Traffic, and the heart was changed and challenged. There was one Khmer community, long before Pol Pot came and Ho Chi Minh had that was one community. And you know what they did? They shot these people away from Vietnam. So they came to Cambodia. They didn't have a permit. They shot them this side. For 112 years, almost 6,000 families are living in the dirty backwaters of the Mekong. No church. That's a lot of people. They do everything in that water. They recycle. They eat, they drink, they sleep, they wash. I mean, I don't want to even describe it. You know what Matt and do? We go right there to that village. That's the floating village. And there we are. That is the church. You know what they call it? Galilee. It's amazing to see these young fellows, the American and David Veit, next generation, doing things for God that Chris Nyanakin could never think of doing.
What will I do? Big, great things.
Well, I die too. But what about leaving a legacy so that people can do things bigger and better than I could ever do? Who cares who gets the credit, long as God gets the glory? Shall we pray? Father God, thank you so much for this morning. And we pray that you will continue to lead us and bless us. Thank you that I could spend this day with my sending church. Thank you for everyone who prays and sacrificially gives so that the gospel will go to places where people have never heard about Jesus, who is the only way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Cross Point Church today. It's such a blessing to have people like you tuning in on a regular basis. And by the way, if this is your first time joining us, thank you. Would you let us know by way of email or a phone call or drop us a letter or maybe drop by the church? Any way that you seem appropriate, would you let us know today if you've made a personal decision either to draw closer to God or even more importantly, if you made a decision today to receive Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior? I would love to know that. I'd love to send you materials or put materials in your hand so you can grow closer to God. Email us, let us know. We would love to have that information. And by the way, join us again on another broadcast right here. God bless and have a wonderful day.